This podcast is brought to you by IFR Magazine.
Hi, this is Jeff Van West of IFR Magazine and AvWeb, and today I'm talking with John King of King Schools, and we're talking about risk. Now, John, I remember several years back, you really stepped out from the crowd and said, hey, we're not being honest with ourselves as pilots talking about risk. The emperor is naked here, and there is real risk that we need to own up to. And you even start the practical risk management course from King Schools with what you call the big lie. So let's start in. Tell me, what is the big lie?
Well, of course, a big lie is one that you've been telling often enough and long enough that you begin to believe it yourself. And the big lie has been, a lot of pilots have told this lie, the most dangerous part of the trip was the drive to the airport. And, of course, if you go through the numbers, and I can back this up with numbers, you're seven times more likely to be involved in the fatality per mile in a general aviation airplane than you are in a car. Now, for the airlines, it is true, but they've got so many things going in their favor that we don't have. But they're about 49 times safer than general aviation airplanes. And my philosophy is, if we don't admit the problem, how are we ever going to correct it?
Now, this seems to really be a personal mission of yours, if I'm not mistaken. Why is that?
Jeff, for me, flying is personal. And I think all of us in general aviation fly for profoundly personal reasons. And I've developed a deep respect for people who are willing to make the commitment to fly. The commitment is huge in learning to fly, and it's also a financial commitment as well. So, and then what really bothered me is I've seen people I care so deeply about and respect and admire go out and kill themselves in an airplane. We taught two-day ground schools, and we would go back to the same city every 2 months, and it wasn't uncommon that someone would say to me, hey, did you hear about Bill? And I said, no, what happened? Well, he got killed in an airplane. And these were people who were spectacular people. I mean, the terrible thing about general aviation is we make fabulous obituaries. We give seminars, and we'll have, say, 700 people in a room, and I'll ask them, how many people in here know someone personally who's gotten killed in a general aviation airplane? And about 90% of the people would put their hands up. For flight instructors, it's 100%. And it's intellectually dishonest to characterize aviation or general aviation as altogether safe activity. It's not. And the sooner we admit that, the sooner we recognize that, probably the better job we'll do managing it.
So what would you say your actions have been, both John King personally and King Schools in general, since you began this effort to deal with risk in aviation in a new way?
Well, early on, we had this interview in Flying Magazine, which you referred to, called The Big Lie. And Jim Lauerman, who's now CEO of Avemco, called me up and says, okay, I've identified the problem. What are you going to do about it? And I really hadn't gotten to that next step. And the next step is, well, how do we identify actions that people can take so that we manage the risk well, which started thinking about it very, very thoughtfully, and we came up with these risk management courses. And the interesting thing about it is Avemco gives a premium credit to someone that takes these courses, and they lower their insurance costs by 5%. And they are making money on that. They've actually reduced their losses by more than 5%. Now, 5% doesn't sound very big, but in the insurance business, it's huge. So the fact that these people are taking this course and they can show a reduced loss rate on it is huge. And I know as a result of it, there are people walking around alive and their families walking around with them who wouldn't be otherwise if they hadn't taken these courses.
Now, that's actually a real tangible measure of success there, that specifically they're seeing a 5% reduction from, to be clear here, these are from your courses, so their population in general versus people who take in your course.
That's correct. And the insurance company is in a wonderful position to statistically measure this. So they do that, yes. And actually, they do better than 5% because they're making a profit on it.
Right. One of the interesting things that I know, having spoken with Jim myself in the past, I believe the number is 3 out of 4 of the claims that Avemco deals with aren't ever even reported as accidents. They're so minor that they never show up in the NTSB files. Do you know of any measure that's showing that there's a decreased number of fatalities, which is really what was driving you making this effort in the first place?
Yeah, I think fatalities represent a percentage of all accidents, and I think when you bring total accidents down, and total losses for the insurance company down, you also bring fatalities down. Now, I don't have an exact number about fatalities. That's a really good question, and frankly, I'm very disappointed with only 5%. I mean, we still haven't cracked the code on how we're going to make a dramatic improvement on this.
Let's talk about your own flying for a little bit here, because both you and Martha are type-rated pilots, but you also obviously fly around in piston singles. Do you put this stuff to practice in your own flying on a daily basis? Do you do a PAVE checklist before you take off? Do you use that CARE checklist from the practical management course in flight?
Yeah, absolutely, and I need to clarify, we were identified, or at least I was identified, as an arrogant guy who was going to go out and kill himself in an airplane. And then we had a crash, and then we became born-again pilots, you might say, after that point, because we've changed everything about our flying, and this development of these courses has been in that process. So we use this vocabulary, and I think one of the things that all of this does, the PAVE and the CARE, and we have another one called CORD, all of these give you a vocabulary. And I don't think it's necessary to sit down and write it out, but it gives you an awareness and a vocabulary so that your brain goes through this. And we talk in those terms all the time. If we're fatigued, we'll say, okay, now the P pilot part of this says that we're fatigued. We need to think about it. It may not say that we can't go, but we need to manage how we're going to deal with that. If the weather is changing, that's the environment we'll fly in. We'll talk about that. And one of the things we talk about the most is the external pressures. Why would we push on when we shouldn't? And what steps do we need to be careful about that?
I want to switch gears a little bit and focus on something that comes up often when people are talking about risk, which is this concept of personal minimums, not just in terms of instrument minimums, but think about it in terms of it's kind of a windy day, it might be okay for me, it might not, it's not that windy, it's not that much of a crosswind, it's that middle ground that's a little bit difficult for the pilot who is a little less conservative, let's say. They're going to go out. They are now more risk exposed, but on the flip side, it may very well be within their capability envelope. If they successfully complete the flight, say, okay, that is definitely within my capability, and I felt good about it. It was a good choice. Granted, they made themselves a little more exposed to risk. The pilot who was a little more conservative chose not to go out that day. They didn't have either the challenge of flying on that day, even if it might have been within their capability envelope, and they didn't get the confidence of discovering that was in their their capability envelope, and so now they are more adverse to flying on a slightly windy day. How do we deal with that as an industry?
You have identified the number one issue in aviation, because if we want to completely eliminate risk, we'll just quit flying. So if on the crosswind thing, frankly, if I didn't feel comfortable in crosswinds, I would find an instructor that was comfortable in crosswinds, and I would go out and find a runway with a crosswind and practice until I was comfortable with crosswinds, because we all are going to have to deal with crosswinds in aviation, because no runway is ever exactly, very seldom, is the runway exactly into the wind. So I think what you have to say is, part of your job as a pilot, remember we talked earlier, the commitment to flying is huge. And part of that commitment is to keep yourself proficient so that you can get utility out of your aircraft. If you don't keep proficient, you get less and less utility, as you say, you're going to drop out. So I think one of your goals is to maintain your proficiency.
Fair enough. So what's next in this effort for bringing down risk? You already said that you were disappointed with a 5% reduction. Obviously, there are still plenty of people flying their airplanes into hillsides or taking them off the ends of the runways. What's next, either as an industry as a whole or just specifically from King's Schools?
Well, I think we still really haven't figured out. I think what causes accidents is what goes on in between the two ears of the pilot who has the accident. And, if you're around an airport and some local pilot comes to grief, very often the people at the airport that know that person aren't surprised. They had identified that person as an at-risk pilot, but probably didn't do anything about it. So So what we need to do is figure out as an industry how we're going to identify that at-risk pilot. And people tried to do it with me. I said earlier, I was identified as one of those dangerous guys, but I wasn't dealt with effectively. They kept telling me, you can't do this, you can't do that. And my reaction to it was, you can't tell me what I can do. I'm going to go ahead and do this. And so I became rebellious about it. So we as an industry have to figure out how to identify these people, how to make them aware of it and to manage that themselves, of managing their own things that make them risky. And so what is it we're looking for? Well, we're looking for a guy who embraces risk rather than manages risk. We're looking for a guy who knows it all, doesn't hurry through instruction, blames the airplane, blames the simulator, blames the instructor, brags a lot. We're looking for the guy who plans on the unrealistic or the barely realistic. You know, the weather will move or this will happen. Or the guy who's in a hurry or the guy who's overconfident. So these are the guys we're looking for. We're going to do a flight instructor refresher clinic coming out soon, and it's going to be dramatically different than other ones. We all flight instructors know the axes of an airplane. So why every year or 2 years do we go review weight and balance and the axes of the airplane? But what we're going to do is deal with these kinds of issues, the show-off, the guy who ignores all sorts of advice. We're going to deal with these issues, how to identify them, and how to get the person to understand it and change it. Tough order, but that's what we're going to have to do to make a difference in aviation.
So if I have that right, what I'm hearing you say is that the next step is a sort of a peer watch, a neighborhood watch of aviation to find the pilots among ourselves who are the most at risk.
And starting with flight instructors, because flight instructors are the best position to identify this. And now, there probably are some pilots who will get killed in general aviation airplanes in a way that's the equivalent of being struck by lightning. They just were at the wrong place at the wrong time. But I'm going to guess that 80 to 90% of the accidents really have to do with the pilot failing to do a good job of managing his flight. And I think we can do something about that. Here's an interesting thing. An ATP flying in the airlines is 49 times safer than a general aviation pilot. Get him in a general aviation airplane, and he's not a lot better than all the rest of us. So we've got an environment that doesn't give us the protections that you get on the airlines. We're going to have to figure out how to do that on our own.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to what comes from King Schools or from your efforts in general. Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us, John.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Again, this is Jeff Van West for IFR Magazine and AvWeb. The course from King's Schools is Practical Risk Management for Pilots. It also comes in several other flavors, including one focused on IFR flying, and there's a premium discount from Avemco if you complete the course. I'm Jeff Van West for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by IFR Magazine. For more on IFR, log on to www.ifr-magazine.com.